How's everyone doing? Good. Hungry. For food or the word? Okay. Came to the right place. Full service. Hey, what keeps you going in the fight? It's hope. Hope is the motivator to keep on keeping on. And you notice, if we lose hope, if we think it's going to stay the same, if we don't think there's going to be any change, that's when we bail. That's when we quit. That's when we go south. And so you will be continually challenged in areas of your life in the area of hope. And you will be fed words that'll tell you, you know, give up, give in, go left, go right. And hope is what keeps you motivated. And the beautiful thing about hope, when you're walking with the Lord, is that it will be realized. That thing you hope for will be realized at some point. It all works out. And that's the great, great joy. And you know, I've shared it with you guys before. That's why Scripture says there's hope, faith, and love. And the greatest of these is love. You know why? Your faith will be realized. When you see Jesus, when you see the culmination of all that God has done, that faith will be rewarded. You will see. Hope will be rewarded because those things that you hope and you pray and you long for, they will come to fruition. They will be resolved at some point too. And so hope will be fulfilled. The only thing that isn't, that goes on and on and on forever, is love. And that's where we will be perfected. I don't know if Aaron read that scripture, but he says, when we walk in fear, that is, I'm paraphrasing here, that is the result of not being perfected in love, of not understanding love. So the more fear-based I am, the more I do not understand, especially when it comes to God, I do not understand what or how much God, one, is in control, and two, He loves me. And so we're going to look at that. We're going to be in chapter 8 of Romans today, which is, I think, one of the best chapters ever. It's just so rich. And it talks about our position. As we've been studying this book of Romans, last week, Chris ended up in towards the end of chapter 7. And there were four things I shared with you guys that you're going to, well, that Paul wanted to get across to the people when he started writing this book to a church in Rome that he didn't know. But he wanted them to understand some things. And he was writing to the Romans, and who had joined the church from all kinds of different religions, all different perceptions of who God is, who God isn't, all the mix-up that comes from that. And then he was also writing to Jews, and to the Jews that founded the church and now were a part of the church. And so we wanted to get across to them a few things. And one of them is their perception of God. How you perceive God, and everybody does at some level, they have a perception of who they think God is, how they think God operates. Is there a God? Is there not a God? What is God? He wanted to correct their perception. He wanted to put forth a God that is definitely other than them, and that is a God that loves them, but a God that is just. And so he wanted them to understand that this God doesn't act like the Greek gods that many of the Romans were very familiar with. It's not a matter of trying to please this God and please him enough so that he accepts you. He was letting them know that this God has a standard of righteousness that must be fulfilled, for he's a righteous God. He's a holy God. He is different than these people. He does not grade on a scale. He grades by complete righteousness. And he was given those things to Moses in the Ten Commandments. And that's what every time Romans refers to the law, it refers to the Ten Commandments. Because in those is summarized everything right you can do in life. And so He wanted them to understand this. Then he wanted them, secondly, to understand their perception of themselves. You are in far worse condition than you think. You are in deep, deep trouble when you deal with God. You cannot live. If his standard is righteousness, you fall way short. So therefore, you are under judgment. And so he wanted them to understand that your works are not good enough to get to God, to be in relationship with God. And third, he wanted them to understand that through Christ, who put on an earth suit, God himself, he fulfilled the righteousness required by the law for us. And that freedom was deeded to us. And because of his actions, we are now considered righteous because of what he did. That doesn't change. Ever. Scripture calls Jesus the head. If the head of the church, he's called the head of the church. If the head is never condemned, the body is not condemned. And the head is never condemned. So the body, those in Christ Jesus, are no longer condemned. And that's how he starts chapter 8. And then the fourth thing he wanted them to know as he was writing this long letter was their purpose. You have a purpose in Christ. You have a purpose when you are in the kingdom of God. Your life now is defined by the Creator who made you, who is now in relationship with you. You have a purpose in the generation you're in and for the generation you're in. There is something for you to do, and this is the beautiful thing. It'll fit you. It'll fit you. You as a little piece of the puzzle finally find that you belong to a bigger picture and that you have a role, just like any piece of a puzzle has a role in the picture. And no one can fill that role except you. And so now life becomes different. We are now ambassadors for a kingdom, and our overall purpose is to draw those that are not in the kingdom yet to become partakers of the kingdom, to expand the kingdom of God. And so he wanted them to understand these four things so that they could have a different way to live life. And as Paul always does, he starts with doctrine. He starts with know this. Because all of us have been programmed in our mind to believe things. We operate from how we perceive things, what has been done to us, what have we have done, the circumstances of life, all that stuff form us. And now Paul will always in his letters gives doctrine, which is really just know these things, and so that you have something to battle with in your mind. It's interesting that when you become born again and the Lord brings you into his family, he doesn't take your mind away. He doesn't take your memories away. It's part of who you are. What he does is he begins to transform the way you think. So the battle is in the mind. And so you can't know what to do. You can't know what to do is right until you first know what is right. So he always starts with the know this, and then this is how you ought to apply it. So in his writing to these guys, Paul had written that Paul's at least 23 years old in Jesus. He's been walking with the Lord a long time. And he writes a principle he has discovered in his own life. And he says this, and we'll get a little bit of Romans 7 here. He says, I have discovered this principle of life, Romans 7:21. A principle is something that is truth and that fits all the time. A method is some way to deal with the principle. So when you come to the Lord, one of his primary principles is to grow us up into Jesus, to make us mature in our faith. The methods he uses in doing that are individually designed based on you. He knows And in fact, he called you before creation. He knit you in your mother's womb. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about your life. Your thoughts, he perceives them before you do. In fact, Scripture says he knows your thoughts from afar. Way before you even think of them, he knows what you're going to think. It's funny, too, because a lot of times in our prayers, we spend the first part of a prayer informing God of what's going on. And then we hope to give him the right solution. And then that's where some of us go sideways when he chooses not to take that solution and apply his own solution. Especially when he says, that's okay, stay right where you're at. Just keep on keeping on. No, Lord, I asked you specifically to remove it. You said in your word, if I pray with the smallest of a mustard seed worth of faith, you'll move this mountain. It's not moving. He says, we move it one pebble at a time. In your case. Because you got a lot of learnings to do. Don't you wish he would just, bam, change you like that? Sometimes he does deliver us. And even when he delivers you, you still have to learn how to walk in it. And so Paul says this, I've discovered this principle in life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. He goes, I see this battle going on. I want to do right, and I inevitably do wrong. What a weakling. We're not like that at all. We should probably take those verses out of the scripture, huh? And this is how he has summed it up. He says, I love God's law. I love those Ten Commandments. I love what they stand for. You don't hurt people. You do what is right. You honor people. You honor God first of all. You don't have any other idols in your life. I mean, all these are beautiful statements that are made in that. He goes, in my heart of hearts, in my place of deepest belief, I hold it. And this guy did. I mean, he was a Pharisee. And he called himself the Pharisees of Pharisees. He belonged to the strictest religious sect. They practiced all the do's and worked hard to do none of the don'ts outwardly. And he says, so in my heart, I really do love the law of God. But there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. He goes, there's a power that's stronger than me. That wars with my mind. This is the thing. Your sinful nature is stronger than your ability to conquer it on your own. How many have ever come to that realization? How many have quit trying to conquer it and surrendered to it? Because it's just too big and strong. It's too big and strong. So he says, this thing, I want to do right in here, but in my mind, I have this battle going on. The processing of how to walk out what I love, how to walk that out is a struggle. And that's the deal we need to understand. Your sinful nature, which you all carry. And for those of us that are parents, sometimes that's a mind blower to us when we see our kids growing up because we think we can legislate it out of them. We think we can reason with them well enough that they don't want to do that. How many have thought that? And then it all goes south. Why? They have a sin nature. Oh, they may take your words. Because how many know that when we've done things, the words of our mama sticks in the head. And we can reject them. We can receive them. We can try to do it. But we just find out we can't. There's this limp to our walk. I don't want to be selfish. But I find I am. I don't want to be fearful, but I find I walk in fear. That's a sin. Because a lot of times when you talk about sin, people always think of the you know, don't do that stuff and don't do that. Hey, a lot of the sin we do is right up here. It says to praise the Lord in every situation. Nah. Process that. That's a no-win. God's got everything in control. Not when I'm stressing. When I'm stressing, he don't got nothing in control, and I'm worried. And we sin all the time. We can't help it. Even when we don't, we end up doing it. I'm going to drive mellow today and nobody's going to bother me. I'm getting better at that one. See, but better, okay. Better means I still mess up a lot. I want to be a good husband. But it would be easier if she was a perfect wife. How many have ever you thought that way, right? And she's close. Yeah, that's what... Yeah. I know, last week or 2 weeks ago when we were here, I said something, and Therese told me after church, she goes, Joe, you make it sound like that's what's going on right now. That hasn't happened for a long time. And see, when I shared it, I thought I did make it in a past tense thing, but apparently to her, I didn't. And kudos to me, because it's a past tense thing. So, and that's only by the Spirit of God. Because there's something that happens with the Spirit of God, and he's going to talk about it. He puts the position out there that we're jacked up, and no matter how hard we try, we're jacked up. He says, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. It still hangs on me. Then he says this. He says, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Who will help me? I try to do good, he says. Who will help me? That word miserable, if you have a different version, some of them say wretched. If you go back to what that word actually meant, it meant weary, worn out from battling. Worn out from battling. That's why a lot of us quit stuff. We get worn out from the battle. When we're weary, the word we use now is weary in our mind when we're just so twisted in our minds. We can't sleep at night. We're going back and forth. See, if you're physically tired, sleep restores you. You wake up and you feel refreshed. If you're mentally worried and twisting and turning in your mind, you can't get enough sleep. And when you wake up, it's still there. You've got this gnarly, and you want to do something, and that's why sometimes we go sideways. We want to do something to distract us from ourselves. And he goes, what a miserable person I am, man. I'm so tired of the war in here. In here, good as gold. Who will help me? And then he gives the answer in verse 25. Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. What is the deal with Jesus? When you are in Jesus, you are given the Holy Spirit. And you know what we can't do against our sin nature is overpower it in and of ourselves. What the Holy Spirit does when we are in Christ, he gives us a power that enables us to start to conquer some things. And that's why if you know the Lord Jesus, something in you's changed. You have some more power in areas where you didn't before. Pity the person who doesn't have the Lord, that they're only left to their own selves. You know, we had a interesting thing happened yesterday. We were at the house, and Bridget was over, and she was holding Aaron, the three-year-old, and I was leaning on the pool talking to Bridget, and then Aaron kind of was talking to her. And both Therese and Bridget have a little heart, and inside of it, we have a little bit of ashes of Sarah. And I don't know what you think about that, but to us, it's very precious, very precious. And he was tapping this heart, and he said something he never, ever said before. He said, Mommy died. And then he said, a monster came, and bam, 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 Mommy fell. And it was like, that's the first time he's ever said anything about that. And it was in a totally relaxed, you know, kind of out of left field statement. And Bridgie goes, Dad, did you hear that? I said, just the end part. What did he say? And then she told me. And you know what? Hate welled up in me. I was just full of hate. And you know what? See, that's Joe. In my sinful nature, it just welled up in me. And then it was a weird dynamic. It was like I was almost standing outside of myself and watching this happen. And then I felt like, wow, Lord, what do you want me to, what do I need to do here? I don't want to hate. That's too big a burden to carry. That is too big a thing to hold on to. And that is what the Holy Spirit does. Our sinful nature comes up. And even if it's righteous, that we get this thing, but you also get something else. And then we get a choice to decide, what are we going to do with this? 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us, no temptation has come upon you except that which is common to man. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. And He will show you a way out so you can stand up under it. You don't have to go sideways. You don't have to go in the fetal position. You can feel your feelings, but you don't have to do something destructive to you or anybody else. See, because those people that walk around with hate, that spills out on everybody. And it causes great damage to you physically. And it causes a problem with you and God. Because now you're mad at God. Then you can go all kinds of bad places when you have it. Or you can attempt to go, okay, God, I want to handle this your way. Help me. Help me. And that's where the power of God, thank God, he says, in Jesus Christ. Thank God we don't have to handle stuff alone. He can handle it. And then he gives us the choice and the power to do something. So I just said, I don't want to hate the guy. It's taken me a long time to get to, I understand, I get it. He was messed up. I don't want him to suffer. And I don't want him to be separated from God forever. It took a long time. At least in my mind, it took a long time. But then that stirs it all up, and it's like, ah. And I don't want to go there. I don't want to be in that space. I just don't want to be in that space. It's, you know, and so I you know, and but this is what the Spirit of God does. So as soon as Paul says that and says there is help from God, he goes into chapter 8. And he says this. So now, because of what Christ, and he is with us and we are in Christ, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation. Some of you Christians need to hear this because you think you're less condemned because you're in Christ Jesus. But you better work really hard to keep that no condemnation. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Why? Christ Jesus fulfilled the law. He's not condemned. We receive it from him. Therefore, we are not condemned. Ever. Ever. No condemnation, not less condemnation. If the head, Jesus Christ, is not condemned, the body is not condemned. Yeah, but what if I sin? Paul just told us, it's always with you. It's always with you. That is the deal. Now, as we grow in God, we get greater victories. We don't have to do everything we've always done. And I'll tell you what, if you're in Christ, there ought to be some change in you. But you know what? You'd be surprised how many Christians walk around with a lot of condemnation. So he goes on to say this, And because, verse 2, you belong to him, there's no condemnation because you're in him, and because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Doesn't free us from the presence, it frees us from the power. What's the power? To cause us to die, to cause us to be separated from God. We do not have that anymore. We have been given the life-giving Spirit. Then he goes on to explain this to them. And I hope you get it too. In verse 3, he says, the law of Moses, going back to the law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. He says, the law of Moses is good. It describes how we are to be and the holiness of God. But it has no power to enact that in our lives. Why? Because we're weak. We're too weak to overcome that. The law is powerful. The law of our nation is powerful. You commit certain crimes. I don't know, some of them, if you're a politician, it's a different story. But you commit some crimes, you're paying the price. You are not powerful enough to overcome that law. The law of God is the perfect law. And you can't overcome it in and of yourselves. He says this, so because of that problem, not the law, us, so God did what the law could not do. It couldn't save us. It had no power to do it. It just could tell us what's wrong. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. Now, these guys don't know about this. Some of you, this may be news to you. Some of us, this is kind of a rehash. But to these Romans, they didn't understand what this was all about. They accepted Jesus like a lot of us do because they're in trouble. Something's going on. We don't understand all the dynamics of that until we grow. A baby that comes out of the womb doesn't go, I understand what's happening now. They don't. Although a 13-year-old thinks they know everything, but... But, you know, we don't understand. Same thing with us. When we're born into the kingdom, very few of us have done massive studies and come to the conclusion. And even then, God would have to enlighten you. Because the Bible tells us foolishness to the Gentile world. But he says, listen, as you grow, you begin to understand how this happens. He sent his son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And that body, God declared an end. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us. How? By giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied. And that's the key word, for us. It's done for us. And it is now in us, and we receive it because of Jesus, not because we did it. So quit trying to save yourselves by what you do. Quit acting like when you mess up, you surprised God. You may shock yourself. Because I've heard people say, you know, that's just not like me to do that. It's exactly like you. You did it. So let's start with owning stuff right now. Right, have you ever heard anybody say, that's not like me? You did it, right? Then it is like you. It is like you. Don't be shocked. You need help. You're not condemned if you have the Lord. You got this thing with you. Oh, wretched man I am. Oh, miserable person I am, because I struggle all the time with this stuff. Now I get victory. Not because of me, because of Christ. So he said this. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us, who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Notice the progression, because a lot of times God's kids get it backward. I'm following God really good, therefore I'm saved. You were saved because of what Jesus did for us, which is put into us. And because of that, I now can follow the Holy Spirit. It says, what's it say here? We no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. We don't have to follow the sinful nature. We're going to sin because the nature is with us. But if our heart's intent is to follow God, living to please Him becomes a priority. So Paul tells you this. Listen, as he moves on, he goes, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. You know, you want to know who you're following, not whether or not you're saved. What you're following, how you're living in your life, stop, and what do you think about? What are the dominant thoughts in your mind? Those will tell you what you're following. If you're sitting here today, for example, and you're constantly following fear, you're following your sinful nature. You're following that nature that says God isn't in control. What are your dominant thoughts? If you're always worried about what's going to happen next, what's going here, what's going there, where is the world going to? It's going to hell in a handbasket. But God is in charge. He's in charge. Yeah. He's going to clean it up. That's the other thing. He's going to clean it up. There ain't no politician going to clean it up. Listen, if you're operating by your sinful nature, the more power you accumulate, more opportunity to sin. How many of us thought, man, if I just had more money, the answer to my problems is more money. Well, how are you handling the money you have right now? Oh, I'm dead up to my ears. Okay, let me tell you how it's going to roll. You'll be in debt up to your ears. If you're not handling what you have now in the way the Spirit would have you handle it, more isn't your friend. It's your enemy. How did I deal with my dope problem? Deal. Become a dealer. Get more dope so I have enough to sell. I really thought that. I really thought that was a good plan. I know, we laugh. Never works. You don't handle the money you have now well, you're not going to handle if you have more. Hey man, they did a big study on all these lotto winners. Most of them, the vast majority, within a very short time, a couple years, were broke again. If you're depending on the lotto to get you through, that means you're depending on luck to take care of you. You know, as Assembly of God pastor, I'm not supposed to gamble. It's a horrible rule. How am I supposed to get ahead in life? I see commercials all the time telling me Vegas is the place to get ahead in life. But I don't. One is because the Lord specifically spoke to me. Because I'm like you. To give me a rule, it's like, I don't know. I don't know about that rule. So I'm talking to the Lord about this. And he goes, Joe, I'll take care of you. I know. I know you say that. But my head says something different. And some of you in that same boat. You gamble. The Scripture says to give. Well, given you'll receive more. You'll receive such a blessing, I'll pour it in and pound it down on you. You know, I'm not under the old covenant. Okay, I get that. I get it. God's principles are the same. But what do we do? You know, we're talking about gambling. You're gambling on your abilities. I'm gambling on mine. I don't like writing out a tithe any more than you do. I don't like doing a whole bunch of stuff God says to do any more than anybody else does. I don't like hearing how great doing stuff in the sinful nature is, how it's working for other people. And how I got to walk with God and do things right. I don't like all that stuff. The Holy Spirit has never once said to me, "Oh, Joe, you don't like it? Okay, go." He goes, "You want to stick and doing it your way? Go." It's like, you know what? I fear God. I fear Him. Not in the sense of condemnation, because I know I'm not condemned. I'm a child of God. There is no condemnation, and we'll look at that as we get into the chapter. But here's what it is. I respect what He says. I totally respect what He says. And I totally know, and I know this, He knows what He's talking about. And if He says don't, it's just not to put me under the thumb. It's because it doesn't work out well. So you know what? I'd rather suffer now so that it works out well. See, that's maturity. In any area of our life. Doing the right thing to do the right thing because it's the right thing is the right thing. And I'll tell you what, your life changes. I can't tell you how many times on my own personal life. The reason I tell you about my story is because I ain't got nobody else's. But I can't tell you how many people that I have counseled and heard the deepest dirt of their lives. And then they get offended in some way. And I get bashed for that. And you know what my flesh says? You should never have done that. I got a podium. We call this the get even box. Then the Spirit of God speaks to me. So, Joe, you took that in confidence, right? Yeah? And it's confident. I said, let me talk to Satan a minute here, quick. So, you know, I've never bashed anybody ever from up here. And I never will. It's not, you know what? Because this is the thing. God says, I will be the revengeful one. I will vindicate you. My job is to continue to do right. And if I did wrong, I need to own that. And if I did right and I'm being accused of doing wrong, that's okay. They killed Jesus. You know, my job is to do what I'm supposed to do because that's what I'm supposed to do. And your job is to do what you're supposed to do because that's what you're supposed to do. That's when we grow up. When we go to work, when we don't want to go to work because that's what we're supposed to do to put food on the table, then we go to work. Okay. All right. So, let's go back to verse 5. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. It's a different thing. Then he says this, so letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, leads to killing. It kills. It destroys. So what God gives us is the ability through the power of the Holy Spirit and us taking action to take thoughts captive in our minds. The battle is waged in the mind. As he said, my heart is for God. And if you have come to the Lord, He has given you a new heart that is soft and is for Him. Or it can deceive you, but that's really speaking of the old heart. The new heart is for God. He begins to soften us. And then he says, now the battle is, how does this mind thing work? Well, it's pretty simple, and I shared it with you guys a couple weeks ago. Your mind is a processing center, and it processes known information, which means it processes, if this way is forward, my mind processes based on the past. It processes what happened before in a similar situation. What decisions did you make before when things like this happened? How did you solve your mind when you're, what did you do? And that's what is being inputted from, and oftentimes it's our sinful nature. Why? Because it falls short of what God would have us do. And then we're in the middle here, facing the current life we're dealing with, the current situations, whatever issues there are. God says, have the mind of the Spirit who operates in the future. Trust me, it will work out. My mind can't grasp that. It does not know what that means. So here's how we mature in the Lord. As I step out and ask the Holy Spirit to enable me to do it the Spirit's way, I gain more experience in the Spirit. And so start walking with the Spirit now begins to have experiences. So when my mind reaches, when I come into a new circumstance, I still get feedback from the old ways of doing life, whatever those old ways are. But now if I'm walking with God, I have some new experiences. Well, God was faithful before. God took me out of this situation before. I remember when I was flat broke and he said, don't steal, and I didn't steal. And oh my gosh, I didn't miss a meal. Oh, I often didn't know where it came from, but I didn't miss a meal. I started paying my bills on time. I used to think it was a hero if I paid rent on time. Thank you. I paid my rent on the first. What a hero. Because my baseline was so low in doing right that any little thing in right, I should be crowned. Yeah. Is that a trip? So now as I walk, and I've been walking with the Lord 31 years, more longer than that, I have a chunk of experience, but the crazy thing is, I still am bombarded with fear when something new is happening and how to handle it. But you gain experience. So for you young believers in the Lord, you need to lean on somebody else's faith till you get enough experience to walk in it yourself. One of the things I love about recovery is they go, get a sponsor, get someone else that's farther down the road. One of the things that keeps us in the junk of anything in our lives is because we don't lean on anybody else. I'm going to handle it myself. That's not a good thing. Doesn't your experience show you something? But see, leaning on someone else is fearful because I've been rejected and hurt and people let me down and la 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 la. I get it, and it's real. Your mind's not making it up. At least some of, a lot of it. So that's where we continually, our walk with God is always a walk of faith, following the Spirit. And you're going to walk the walk of life like everybody else. I thought, well, I was supposed to be exempt from life's troubles, at least most of them, or trials or whatever. I found out that the guy drives into them. The Holy Spirit just takes you, blam, into it. Why? Because if your purpose is to reach people and expand the kingdom of God, you got to have a way to get in there, to reach them. And so what does God do oftentimes? He brings you into circumstances that will give you commonality with them. So, and that commonality is the door opener. And that's why we go through stuff. So that we can reach people who are going through stuff and don't have God. That's why we're called the light of the earth. Jesus gave us the greatest compliment ever. He says, you're the light of the earth. You are the light. If everybody's light, what good is your light? What's it even matter? So if you're light of Christ, guess where he's going to take you? He's going to take you into darkness. Why? Because you're the light. Because you reflect the light. And if you're when you're walking with the Holy Spirit, God will start doing things and they will see. You will give them something. And when you tell them there is a God who loves them. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, I can't go into church, so I clean up my act. I wouldn't worry about church, buddy. I'd worry about heaven. And it's not about you cleaning up your act and then coming in. And it kills me when Christians operate like that. Like, oh, man, I better clean up myself or I'm going to go to hell. Well, are you saved? So did Jesus die for your sins? You understand that? Yes. So because he died, the head of the church is saved. So what does that say about the body? What's a headless body? Dead. The body's saved. What you are doing is coming under the discipline of the head. Hey, if this arm's infected, the head's going to do something about it. Same thing with God. There's a part of the body, you being a part of it, is infected. God's going to do something about that. Okay. I know. I'm on to it. You guys getting this? Good, because we have no more time. Listen what he said. Let's just finish. Where did I go? Six? Okay. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It's really the enemy of God. And we battle with that. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can't please God. He's talking about God's kids here. They're saved. But see, you can't please God when we walk in our sinful nature. And I've told you guys before, how many people go, hey, I've been really good lately. You know what I need to do is reward myself with some sin. And kind of God will understand. Oh, he understands. He gets it. But don't think you're pleasing him. And if you're not pleasing him, that means there's some work to be done here. So, hey, why don't we stand up? Is there an area you're not pleasing God? You don't have to shout it out. Is there an area you're not pleasing God? First of all, are you saved? Because without that, no matter what you do, you haven't pleased God. You're still under judgment. So to be removed from judgment, you need Jesus. He is the only way. I don't care what social media says. He is the only way because he met the requirements. Nobody else has ever. He met them. So he is the way. So if you don't have Jesus today, do you want Jesus? Anybody in here need Jesus? Okay. All right. Then there's those of us that have Jesus, and we're children of God. We belong to the kingdom, but we've been following our own sinful nature. And I just want to target one specific thing in your lives, and that is whatever it is you need to target. Where is that area that you just can't get over? And it can be simply our thought life. I just can't get over fear. Or it can be something as what I'm doing over and over again. What I'm thinking, what I'm doing. And you can't do without thinking. So if you're doing something over and over again, that means you're thinking about it over and over again. And so listen, you can't overcome that in your own power. So what you first need to do is repent of trying to deal with it, or even if you gave up in trying to deal with it and just going with it, you need to repent of that. Secondly, you need to ask the Holy Spirit to help you. You can't do it. God, help me. And then thirdly, say, I'm willing to do it your way. Because I've asked the Lord, help me, Lord. And he says, do it this way. Well, help me later. Am I willing to ask him to strengthen me to do that now? So if that's you, I'll lead you guys in a prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came down from heaven, put on an earth suit, became one of us, and lived perfectly righteous. thereby fulfilling the law and justifying the punishment, well, the freedom from the punishment that was due us for falling short of righteousness. I receive that as my righteousness, and I thank you for that. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and now lead me in the path I should go. And God, I ask you right now, that thing, you know what it is. I know what it is. Help me, God, to walk out what pleases you in that area. And I thank you for that. And give me the strength to do it. And to focus my mind on thinking how to please you in that area, that I may win that battle in this leg of my journey. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day.